food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today, Monday, August 19th, 2013. Of course, we're going to be talking about gold. We're going to be talking about market. We're going to talk about unemployment rates. Many other things. So make sure you stay tuned. But let's get right into the gold pricing today. Let's get an update on gold today. Gold down $10 today at $1,367. Not a bad decrease in gold today. Down 10 at $1,367 with the big run up that we had last week. That was due to see a little bit of pressure today. So being down 10, not bad. Silver's down 8 pennies today at $23.28. Same thing with silver. Big run-up last week. 8 cents is nothing today. Still great buying opportunities, folks. Platinum down 18 at $15.13. And palladium down 11 at $756. USDX today's trading down just slightly, 0.04 at 81.25. And crude oil was also down, not much, down about 60 cents today at 106.89. And the markets today, they took a little bit of a downturn late in the day. They didn't do much. They posted their first four-day slide this year as the Dow lost about 71 points today at 15,010, just hovering that 15,000 level. The NASDAQ is down 13 points at 35.89, and the yield, the 10-year, 2.88, and big psychological number on that is 3. And, of course, many folks have been predicting that we'll get to that 3%, above the 3% level in just a few short weeks. So we'll have to see what it does to the markets. Ben Bernanke will be coming out. I guess they're going to their big meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I think it's Thursday they'll be coming out or going there, I should say, for their, you know, once-a-year get-together with all the elite, so they can figure out what they want to do, what they can do to screw the rest of us. So, good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody. I don't know. Do you don't anticipate that there's a beneficent intent or purpose behind the meeting at Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
Well, what do you know?
I thought they were here to help us, Melody.
We're here to help you.
Yeah, I know.
I'm here to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I help you?
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, what's funny, in the report that they had, they came out, the central bank, the Fed, said that the large banks had made substantial improvements in how they planned for future potential financial crisis. However, they also said that there was considerable room for advancement. You know what, Al? These guys get paid how much money? They're all graduates of Harvard and
Yale.
Yale, and it's just like
Cook County Jail.
No, that's
Harvard, Yale, and Cook County Jail. They're all, they have degrees. You know, I've got a friend of mine, and I've talked to him a time or two. He has relatives down in Mexico, and he has a cousin down there who is, he was the third richest man in Mexico, had over $1 billion, lost it all. All right, now he's gained it back. All right, and he's big, he's important, all right, he's powerful and the rest, that sort of thing. But he says the best year of his life was a year he spent in a Spanish prison. All right, he was put in a Spanish prison back, I don't know what year, but he said he learned more about business from a Turkish drug dealer who offered him $20 million if he could get him out of that jail. All right. Well, he never got the guy out of the jail. I don't know if he'd ever tried, but he said, this guy taught me about business. And now he's rich and he's powerful and the rest of that sort of thing down in Mexico. And he flew up here in his private jet and brought the family. And as a matter of fact, they had a couple of dinners while they were up here where he spent $5,000 per dinner. You understand? There were maybe a dozen people. It was my friend's mother turned 100. Right? And quite a celebration, you know. Bring family in from around the country, and
did you go?
No, I didn't. I'm not part of that family. I'm a friend of. I met the mother a couple of times, or that sort of thing. But quite an accomplishment to make it to 100. You know, really does deserve a celebration. But it just cracked me up. You know, I'm joking about Harvard, Yale, and Cook County Jail. And the truth of it, here's a guy down in Mexico. He said, I learned more in that prison in 1 year than I learned any other time in my life.
Well, I'll tell you, things that come out of these, the mouths of...
Out of the mouths of babes and ex-convicts.
Yes. They came out today, and unemployment rates... They rose in most of the U.S. states in July. The Labor Department said today that unemployment rates increased in 28 states. They were unchanged in 14 and fell in 8. The fewest to show a decline since January. Yeah, we're doing so well. Let's quit that QE3. Let's quit some of that. Let's bail out. Hiring increased in 32 states in July compared with June, and it's the fewest to report job gains in 3 months. And 17 states reported job losses. And the states that were doing good, California, Georgia, and Florida, reported the largest job gains, while New Jersey and Nevada lost the most. So, just goes to show you that
if the world only operated like a Hollywood movie,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you go in and you write the script, and we can go through. We have our little scary times, and there's a certain amount of drama, and somebody gets shot. Then, of course, there's the obligatory nudity scene, and then all is well, and it all takes somewhere between 90 and maybe 120 minutes. But unfortunately, the world doesn't run according to the Hollywood script format. And it's not going to work out quite that fast. And it's not going to happen just because they write it. It's not going to happen just because it's fictional or it seems believable, at least to some people. You know, that brings me to, let me see if I can find this. Yeah, here's the one. This touches on this concept. We touched on this a little bit last week. Senator Kerry speaking today. Here's the headline: Internet instant communication making it much harder to govern. Huh? The Internet's causing the government money. Speaking today, this was actually a few days ago, to officials at the U.S. Embassy in Brasilia, Secretary of State John Kerry, I said Senator, but Secretary of State John Kerry delivered comments about the hardships facing U.S. diplomacy, saying that a major problem was this little thing called the Internet. Referencing the Internet and the ability of people everywhere to communicate instantaneously, Kerry lamented, "It makes it much harder to govern. It makes it much harder to organize people." Why do you think it makes harder to govern, Melody? It's because we expose their lies almost as fast as they write them. There was a time not that long ago when government could write all kinds of fabricated malarkey. And if they spoke it with confidence, the whole world basically believed it. The number of people who disbelieved were a minority, and they had no way of effectively communicating their disbelief. But today, government, by means of the Internet, their lies are being quickly exposed. And as a result, they can't lead and govern based on deception. Right? And then they talk about here, and it makes it much harder to organize people. And I'm going to say, organize how? Organize by deception. Organize who? The government can't organize the American people and can't even organize its own employees, as evidenced by Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden. In this role, although Kerry didn't single out any incidents specifically in the comments, it's hard to hear this from a U.S. official and not immediately think about the Internet's role in facilitating whistleblowers like Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden. And they go on with the article, talk about it. But the Internet has reduced the government's ability to govern by means of lies and deception. Now, if the government intends to continue to govern and they can no longer do it based largely on lies and deception, then there are two choices right now for a system that will govern and cause people to obey. And one is overt fascism and tyranny, where the government rules by brute force and the people are expected to obey out of rank fear. You'll do what you're told or you're going to be very, very sorry. That's one option. If they can't trick us, deceive us, lie to us into following them, then maybe they got to put a gun to our backs and say, you better start following like a good boy or you're going to pay a price on this. The second option, though, is regaining a moral high ground where politicians and leaders are respected for telling the truth and followed not based on fear or based on deception, but based on respect. Now, I know that's an improbable scenario, but what do you think is more likely, Melody? Do you think the government will continue to try to force feed us more lies? Will they resort to more tyranny? Or do you think there's any chance that because of the Internet, those who would govern may have no choice other than to become a more moral class of people? You got an opinion on that, Melody?
Yeah, I do. Politicians aren't going to change until the people change. And I hear an echo, so I'll try to, I don't know if it's coming through. People need to change. And whenever we even have a politician that takes the high ground, it seems people will find fault with maybe the one thing that's is enough to complain about. I saw it with Ron Paul. Even good people that seek the truth found fault with a man that was trying to do good.
I think that's a good point.
So the people have to change. They're only doing what they're allowed to do because we don't require them to do any more. We don't require. We don't ask. We don't seek for them. How many times do we talk about picking up telephones and making comments and telling them? They do what they're allowed to do. So, I'm back to the people.
It's well, you get the government you deserve. It's unfortunate, but it's probably true.
And it's the same thing.
They've said it for years, and if we have a problem with the government we've got here, chances are we've earned it.
Exactly. It's in Wall Street, and hey, financing, the economy, it's no different. Sure, we're to some degree we're conditioned. I do believe the elite have an agenda, and I do believe we're conditioned. And yes, your television is one way, your internet is another way. It's access. They follow our moves. They know how to move the masses. They know how to get that herd mentality moving. And we fall right into it, and we follow, the carrot is dangled, and we follow right along. So,
well, we have, but part of the point of the article I was quoting from, and part of the point to Kerry's complaint, is that because of the internet, less and less people are falling for that carrot. It may still be that a lot and perhaps a majority are falling for the carrot, still as just as always, but there is a significant minority, maybe even a small majority, that's just no longer buying the program. So, you know, we're caught in a place where, yeah, we got a bunch of people that still fall for it, but, yeah, we also have people who do not fall for it, and we can ask ourselves, what kind of result can we expect from that tension? All right? Who's going to finally rule this country? Those who represent the morons or those who represent the dissidents? And it's hard to say.
It also makes me wonder why Kerry would even come out and make a... He's kind of like a Biden.
Brazil. See, it was he made it at an embassy in Brazil, and this is probably tweeted this thing on the internet, and that's how it got out. He's complaining about the internet to just a handful of people at the American embassy in Brazil, and more than likely somehow it got on the internet, and then everybody hears about it, and then Kerry is just, you can't talk anywhere. You know, I was talking to you about my frustration earlier today to try to upgrade my services on Skype and use a debit card and blah, 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 and everything. And it just appears that I just don't have enough intelligence to know how to do things that eighth grade kids can probably do. I'm getting a little too low. But I'm sure people in government, as frustrated as I was earlier today, all right, angry. If I could get my hands on somebody, I was ready to go for it. What do you think happens to Kerry and to Obama and to Pelosi and Clinton and all the rest of these people? I mean, they have more problems with technology than you and I. So I take some satisfaction in that. Even when I'm down there cursing the great technology gods I still get a chance to laugh. Yeah, but it's even worse for the government. They have more problems with it than I do. So,
it's going to be so quick, but they also, you can never forget who created the internet. It wasn't Al Gore. But,
was it? Then why did they give him that Nobel Prize?
I know.
Oh, wait, he did a PowerPoint presentation on global warming. That's right. But, well, I've done a couple PowerPoint presentations myself, Melody, and I'm really disappointed that you haven't nominated me for a Nobel Prize.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Oh, we'll give you a discount gold and silver prize.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Good. Sounds good. All right.
But the internet, they can pull the, you know, they can pull the switch whenever they want to. So.
Well, they can't really. That without collapsing the economy. The internet is so pervasive right now. They shut down. It's so important to business and government and everything. They shut down the internet, and we're back in the Stone Age, practically. I mean, and it'll be instant and overnight. Inventories from grocery stores, they're constantly taking inventory. Every time you buy a can of beans, it goes up and they order another can of beans. That order is being placed over the internet. Something happens, those grocery stores are out of business in short period of time. The internet can't be shut down right now easily unless they are prepared to collapse our economy. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Now we'll find out whether you folks need a special today or you don't need a special today. I'm not absolutely certain whether Melody does or does not. What you got,
Melody? Yes, we do. We got a great little special today. Again, I do like the fractional $5 Liberty gold pieces, so I'm going to include them. It's great for your semi-numismatics. It's great for privacy, performance. It's great for bartering. And we're going to include 21-ounce silver rounds, and the whole package includes all your shipping costs. For $950, that's $950, and you just need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And if you have any questions for today's program, please use questions@dgscoins.com.
They could also call in if they wanted, Melody. What's the phone number here?
Phone number is 1-800-596-8191. If you have any questions for myself or for Al, that's 1-800-596-8191.
Okay.
And let's see. We have a question here, Al. It says, he keeps hearing QA to... Or he probably means QE to infinity. It can't happen. That's why bonds and the dollars are collapsing. Gold will soar. Do you agree?
Well, I agree that gold has to soar. We did an article in the magazine, The American Survival, just this last weekend. Just pointed out, look, 80 years ago, Back in 1933, the price of gold was $20 an ounce. The price has gone up, the price has gone down. But if you connect the dot from 1933 until today, it has gone from $20 an ounce to about $1,370 an ounce. Huh? Yes, it's been higher, it's been lower, it's a bumpy ride. But the trend for 80 years is up, if you want to make your comparison from 1933. Excuse me, just made from 33. If you want to go to 1971, when we had a pure fiat dollar, they closed the gold window on international dollars, and the dollar became pure fiat currency. The point, the price at that point was $35 an ounce. Connect it to the dot today, 1360, 70, whatever. Right? Up, up, up. You can go to the year 2000 when Saddam Hussein stopped selling Iraqi crude oil for U.S. dollars and began to accept euros in payment, and thereby threatened the stability and value of the petrol currency, which is what it had become, the petrodollars. After we got completely off the gold standard, turned them into petrodollars, you had to have dollars to buy petroleum anywhere on the face of the earth. When Saddam Hussein broke that relationship, afterwards, the dollar's fallen by 40% as measured on the U.S. dollar index, and the price of gold has again increased from about $275 in 2000 up to over $1,300 today. And the point I'm trying to illustrate is that there is a trend that's been going on for 13 years, that's been going on for 42 years, that's been going on for 80 years, that is up, up, and up for gold. Yes, we have downstrokes. Yes, we have spikes that are perhaps irrational. But the trend, regardless, is almost unprecedented, and it continues as long, and it will continue, as long as we have fiat currency. The dollar's value is not finally determined by supply and demand on the commodity markets. It's ultimately a reflection of the fact that the paper dollar has no intrinsic value. And as long as we continue to work with a fiat dollar, a paper dollar, the price of gold is going to rise. It'll go up, it'll go down, but it's mostly going to go up, and it will continue until we get rid of the paper dollar. So do I think that paper dollar is going to continue, or excuse me, gold is going to continue to go up in price? Yeah, it has to. It has to. Unless we get rid of the paper dollar. And if we do, whatever replaces the paper dollar will probably be backed by gold, and it will probably be backed at a price for gold compared to today's price. And these are difficult things. How do you compare prices in dollars if dollars no longer exist? Well, paper dollars. Well, how do you make those comparisons? It's tough. It's a little bit peculiar the way you have to think about this. But we still see the price of gold, if we go to a gold-based currency, who knows? $10,000, $20,000 an ounce? I don't know. There's people who think it could go $50,000 an ounce. I have no idea, but it's going to go a bunch more than it is right now. Those of you that are holding on to gold, day comes, you're going to be happy campers.
It's funny, I was watching CNBC this morning. They bring on Dennis Gartman, or Gartner, whatever his name is, Gartman, and you know he's an old pusher of gold, and you know he got hammered for Y2K, only he disappeared. You know, he didn't have the you know, he didn't stick around and go through it. He kind of disappeared and came up on the opposite side of everything and kind of went along Wall Street wise and or Wall Street way. And he was on there this morning. The first thing out of his mouth is, "I'm not a gold bug." I saw him on there last week. He says the same thing. "I'm not a gold bug, but I own it."
He's well, that's, I agree with that.
Uh-huh.
I agree with that. I mean, there's some people that what I think he means is that there are some people whose reaction to gold is emotional rather than rational.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I get that. And I'm tempted by a certain amount of to be a gold bug to some extent. But truth of the matter is, I'm not really in love with gold. I understand they are discs of metal. And from my perspective, even if I'm not a gold bug, I still sit back and I look at the reason behind it. I look at cause and effect, and I make projections. I can't tell you it's God's truth. I can't give you prophecy, but still, you look at it. I just cannot escape the idea that gold is going to go up, up, and up. We'll have some more downstrokes, but it's going up. Has to, because the dollar must go down. And we know this because we've seen 275 instances, according to one researcher, of fiat currency in the history of the world, and all of them have failed. The fiat currency has collapsed every time except for 23, and those 23 are currencies, fiat currencies, that are around right now, and they're 10, 20, 30, 40 years old, and they're on the way out. They just haven't gone yet, but they'll go.
I think the reason he says he's not a gold bug, and we got a caller, is because then he has to accept that our currency is the fiat currency, and that you do have to believe in having a real money printed by our government to eliminate the Federal Reserve, and there's no way he would be able to say those things on CNBC. So, you know, a gold bug isn't so much the belief in gold, it's the belief in the fundamentals of gold and why you have to own it. And,
well, some of the consequences.
We got Jim from West Virginia calling in. Hi, good afternoon, Jim.
Well, James.
You guys doing good? Okay.
We always like to think so, but you never know for sure until you see St. Peter. You know what I'm talking about, Jim? You may think you're doing well,
yes.
And St. Peter said, no, you were screwing up by the numbers, big boy. And on the other hand, you might think, gee, I wasn't doing too good at all. I'm in big trouble. And Peter said, no, you did a pretty good job. We don't really know. It's all speculation until we see St. Peter, but we hope we're doing okay.
We look at the future blindly, as one fellow said. Okay, who did invent the Internet? You don't know?
Department of Defense, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No. Okay, they had a teletype system, same as the weather system, same as Western Union, same as the railroads had, where you'd sit there and spew out data. And yes, you could address one particular machine on the network, but it just blurped out. Okay. The Internet packet system was developed by ham radio operators in the 70s. Now, you'll never hear ham radio giving credit for anything on mainstream media because they don't want you to know there's any means of communication if they pull the plug on the phone system, okay? And Obama has signed a recent executive order where he can do that. There are our phones. Now we pay for them with our bills, but he thinks he can turn them off. Anyway, okay, you have this packet of data, 256 bytes, and it has an address where it's going to, and it has a return address. It goes doink out to the computer, doink back. And it says, okay, send another one, doink, 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 doink. That way you can have a long page, a short page, all kinds of stuff that was invented and given to the world by ham radio operators. Now, that rolls me into another one. What if the grid does go down for way too long? What if a
When
bam
you
bam
say
pulls
the grid, are you talking about the Internet? Are you talking about the electrical
power.
Grid?
Power.
Go ahead.
Power grid. That will knock out phones because batteries only last so well. For a while, if a bam bam sits there and says, I'm going to pull the plug on the phones. And they've actually run drills where they've, I think in Chicago, this happened for about an hour, a suburb of Chicago, government people could call private citizens could call government people could call government people, but private citizens could call private citizens. And this has happened 8-10 years ago. It was hit the ham radio. Yeah, I'm a ham radio operator. Well, actually, the FCC won't renew my license because I'm a dissident, but it's okay. But it hit the ham radio websites. Now, here's what I'm going to suggest. If you're preparing, what you do is you go to QRZ.com, www.QRZ.com. Look in the
I think you just said something that was pretty close to English, but I didn't understand it.
The letters Q for Quebec, R for radio, Z for zebra or Zulu.com.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Upper left hand, okay, call sign. Do a call sign search, people where you are. Find out who your hams are. Because ham radio works when nothing else works, folks. And my little radio is running 12 volts. Huh?
You can also yell out the window, though. You remember you remember Howard Beale in Network. He said, I want you to stick your head out the window. See, he didn't know about ham radio. I want you to stick your head out the window and holler, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, it doesn't have the range of ham radio. But I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, and it is true. ham radio point. May be a very important form of communication.
Point two.
Sometime
point two.
In the future.
If your government breaks down, if government breaks down at the neighborhood level, you need radios to communicate with each other so you can keep an eye on your neighborhood. So now's the time to do that. And lots and lots and lots of batteries are like 12-volt radios. There's a ton of information out there about this. But, yeah, hams actually invented the protocol which allowed the Internet as opposed to the old BBS bulletin board system, because I've been into this stuff since forever. Mm-hmm. I worked on teletype machines, believe it or not. But the bottom line is real simple. Get your emergency communication set in place if you think that you're in a particular place where things could get real hot real soon. Love you for everything you do. Got to go.
All righty. Thank you, Jim.
All right, Jim. Thank you. All right, Melody, do you have a ham radio?
No.
Do you know why they discriminated against the ham radio operators? It's part of the Zionist conspiracy. You see, and they don't like ham.
I was.
You get that? I heard that on the internet. I heard that on the internet. So I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea if they shut the internet down. I'm not sure. But it won't be. It won't be a good time. It may save us a lot of disinformation, but we'll also lose a lot of truth.
Hey, I thought this was interesting. British Navy warships, so they arrived in the disputed territory of Gibraltar. And I was there, so I know where they're going. Coinciding with the souring of relations between Madrid and London in a row over an artificial reef that Spain says affects its fishermen. The HMS Westminster frigate docked at the British naval base on Monday and is in the area to take part in a pre-planned naval exercise in the Mediterranean. Its arrival came a day after fishermen and some 60 fishing boats protested the building of the reef. And, of course, the dispute has led to a spike in tensions, with Spain saying it will take all legal measures to defend its interests. And, of course, Spain ceded sovereignty of Gibraltar to Britain in 1713, but has persistently sought its return. What I find interesting, why in the world would London send a warship because of a dispute of a reef? So I don't know if it's perhaps getting just a little closer to a certain area to where they just want to position a warship.
It's just their way of saying we take this very seriously and we're not going to surrender Gibraltar, which controls the entrance to the Mediterranean.
Exactly.
We're not giving that back to Spain. I mean, it's not happening.
Well, I find it awfully, you know, I find it that it comes over dispute of a reef. And perhaps, you know, there's something
this
else.
Dispute, you
something
know, it's
else
like,
that, because you're right. It defends the entrance. And,
yeah, it controls it. It absolutely controls it.
So
I mean, that's
I thought that was
one of the
very
most critical pieces of ground, perhaps, on the face of the earth. You know, mile for mile, square mile for square mile. Gibraltar is a pretty important place. I'm sure they take it every bit as seriously as they do the Malvinas. Down with Argentina. I can't remember the other name they use. I think Malvinas is what the Argentinians call those islands off the coast of Argentina. They went out, they had a little war going on a couple of years ago over that. They're going to hang on to these rocks. You know, they're going to certainly try. So we've got down, I guess if Frank is ready, maybe we will take our break about 15 seconds early. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
California. They say everything starts in California and heads east. Well, we'll have to see if their retirement plan that is being created by Kevin DeLeon thinks it could be different. He's a California state legislator who took on the financial services by promoting what is now called the California Secure Choice Retirement Savings Plan. And yeah, that's a biggie. And he's taken it through the legislative process, and he's getting Governor Jerry Brown's approval. He actually got it last fall, and he's now in the beginning stages of realizing the plan. The Center for Retirement Research at Boston College claims the U.S. has a $6.6 trillion deficit in retirement financing, and a substantial minority of the baby boomers and a majority of the Gen Xers risk a serious decline in having their standards of living drop. But DeLeon's initiative would automatically deduct 3% for retirement savings from workers' pays at firms in which they work with at least five employees and no 401k already in place. The money would be pooled. I hate that word. I don't want my money pooled with anybody else's money, and managed in a newly established entity. Participants would get a 3% return, which is, you know, probably not all that bad, but yet a lot of people think it's a very modest return in today's standards. An insurance policy would underwrite the plan so taxpayers would not be financially liable if the plan loses money.
And that's the insurers.
Yeah.
The insurers would be.
Yeah.
And we know they would never do anything with, I mean,
oh, of course
they're
not
closely associated with banks, and yeah, they have a lot of lawyers working for them. So we know we can trust the insurers.
Sure. Yeah, right. At retirement, the account balance would be turned into an annuity.
Yep.
So this is very much along the same lines as what Senator Tom Harkin, he has pushed for similar legislation at the federal level, and he's been doing that for several years. We've seen it. We've talked about it for the past several years. But he's been having difficulty put through in, you know, because of the connection, the ownership between Wall Street owning Washington, and that's why And there's billions of dollars that are being managed. And the estimates on industry earnings range from anywhere between $89 billion just for 401k fees alone. And
$89 billion per what? Per year?
Yeah. Estimates on the industry earnings. So earnings are done on a yearly basis range. Widely, it may make between $89 billion for 401k fees alone. Yeah, you have fees generated every year. All the way up to $500 billion for all retirement assets, as estimated by retirement reform advocate and professor at the New School for Social Research, Teresa Gilarducci. So you have this DeLeon's plan that's beginning in California. They weren't able to put it through the Harkin wasn't able to do it at the federal level. Now you have somebody doing it at the state level, and I'll guarantee you people will probably sit there, I might only get 3%, but I'm not going to lose any of my money. It's guaranteed.
You're going to lose most of your money.
Yep.
And as soon as you convert it into an annuity, and that's the same thing we have with Social Security, I can absolutely remember my stepfather telling me back in the late 1950s. I remember this. I don't even know why. I've remembered it for years. It's one of those things sticks in your mind and wonder, why do I remember? I can remember he understood back then, back about 1958, 59, that if you contributed as much to private savings in and you put it in the bank and the interest was compounded by the time as you contributed to Social Security back then, it was only a couple percent and a half, 2%. If you put that much in the bank, by the time you retired, you'd have $1 million in the bank. Now, by putting it into Social Security, by the time you retire, what do you have? You have $1,800, maybe $1,200 a month coming back at you. All right? And you don't have the capital that you've contributed. When you agree to put all of your wealth that you've accumulated throughout your life into an annuity, who gets that capital if you pass on? Whatever is left, you might have an account that's got $1 million in it, for all I know. Who gets that $1 million if you pass on? Guess who? The people that are running the annuity. They keep it. You don't have any money in an annuity to leave to your children, to your heirs, to your assigns. They guarantee to give it to you, and then they guarantee that you'll get a certain amount a month once you retire. But they're betting that you will die long before you ever get all your money out of that annuity. It's a losing proposition, and we talk about retirement and how much you're going to have on Social Security. I guarantee you the people that are running these 401ks and these other retirement programs, if the numbers Melody was reporting are accurate, and they're taking, just $89 billion for
fees.
Yeah, in fees. I guarantee the people that are running those programs, their retirement is very well funded. The people that are participating in the program, their retirement will be tentative at best. It's just more crap. And put your money someplace where it's easy for the government to steal it or somebody else who's approved by the government.
Well, you know, the sad thing now is they talk about 3%. And, a lot of people will, that's what they'll do. They'll create the stock market will drop from 15,000 to 8,000, and everybody will rush to those plans, and they'll be eagerly to accept 3%. However, let's look at inflation. You're going to lose against inflation because inflation is certainly higher than 3%. And, they might claim it's below 2 or hovering around 2 at these levels, but I believe John Williams, Shadow Stats, he suggests that inflation is closer to, I think it's 10%, isn't it?
Yeah, he's in the neighborhood of 10%.
10%, and
that's my understanding.
Any idiot just has to go to the grocery store and buy something. And, of course, they take out our needs. They take out our energy and food out of the calculating the important inflation numbers and readjust other things. So, they'll do it. And so...
We're going to calculate. We've got a new formula for calculating inflation, Melody. It's been proposed by the Obama administration, and it will be based on the changing price of buggy whips. Mm. Understand? And as the price of buggy whips go up or down, that will be the measure of America's rate of inflation. So Obama thinks that's going to be a good program. I've got something here, an article from...
Well, I got a question that came in.
Okay,
it's
go ahead.
Is England finally admitting that their security forces were involved in killing Princess Diana? Her father-in-law, the B, stated this right from the start after the accident. And I guess someone came out last week saying that they have additional information. I can't remember. I can't recall exactly who said that, but where they're reinvestigating the crash.
Well, they're reinvestigating the crash. I guess that's interesting, but you know, it's a little late. One of these days, we may reinvestigate the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It's my understanding that there are still trunks of evidence, piles of evidence that haven't been released. Near we are 50 years after the fact, all right? And we're still what? Protecting the Kennedy family, that was the excuse. They weren't going to release all the evidence because we wanted to respect the Kennedy family. And my response then and now was to help with the Kennedy family. Somebody shot the president of the United States, and it doesn't matter whether it offends the Kennedy family to see the evidence or it does not. The man was the president of the United States. There is no reason why all of the evidence shouldn't be released. And they still aren't releasing it. Much of it is still kept locked down. Now, why would that be? I mean, there's nobody in the Kennedy family that's concerned about this anymore. And even that was a bum, that was a foolish excuse in the first place. But why are they doing it? Because, in my opinion, I don't think they want the world to see the evidence, because if the world sees the evidence, it may discover that the perpetrator behind the Kennedy assassination was someone other than the lone assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, is there a real conspiracy theory going on back there? Is it all just nonsense? Hard to say, but the answer could be found by just turning loose the evidence. Release it. Let people look at it. It's 50 years after the fact, and they still keep it locked up. You know.
You had an interesting story you told me once about the assassination of Kennedy.
Yeah, I did.
We probably don't have enough time to go into it, but it's an interesting...
Yeah, that's right. It's an interesting story, and I believed it was true. Told to me by someone who, you know, I believed he was telling me the truth. I had reason to believe
minutes.
He was telling... All right, I can get into it. Met a man here in Dallas back in the early 1990s who was a jeweler. He purchased some emeralds from a Colombian colonel who he alleged assured him that the emeralds had been properly imported into the country, but it turns out they had not. One thing led to another, and he got crosswise with the government because they alleged that he had smuggled the emeralds into the country, and he had some problems. And he used to come to meetings we had for Citizens for Legal Reform, got to talking to him. And he was an intelligent man. He was knowledgeable, and his father had been a professor of law at Southern Methodist University. And Southern Methodist University is located here at Dallas. And when Jack Ruby shot and killed Lee Harvey Oswald and was thrown in prison, my friend's father was allegedly called on to be Jack Ruby's secret attorney. Right? He had other attorneys, but this guy was there on the sly, and he claimed to have interviewed Jack Ruby while Ruby was under sodium pentothal. And he recorded the interviews. And according to him, Jack Ruby said the reason that Kennedy was assassinated, this was Ruby's understanding. This doesn't necessarily have to be the truth or even the whole truth. There may be more other people involved. But what Ruby understood was that Don, I can't think of his name anymore, but Don in the sense of a mafia Don in Miami. He was behind the assassination because he had been this Don had been laundering mafia money for a couple of decades, and they'd been moving it offshore into an underground bunker in Havana. Right? Secret underground facility in Havana where the mafia had been putting all its gold. We've seen movies that allege that the reason Kennedy was killed was because the mafia was upset about losing their casinos in Cuba. That was nothing. They didn't care about the casinos. They wanted the gold. That's what drove them nuts. And when the Bay of Pigs took place, the invasion at the Bay of Pigs, there were a cadre of roughly two dozen mafia soldiers that went into the Bay of Pigs, and they were supposedly there to liberate Cuba. They didn't care about Cuba. They were there to try to get control of the gold and get it out of Cuba, all right, and return it to the mafia. They died. Many of them died at the Bay of Pigs because Kennedy didn't provide air cover. And according to Jack Ruby, this... having a brownout here for a second. According to Ruby, one of the leader of these mafia soldiers was the mafia Don's oldest son. Now he had not only lost the gold that was buried in the vault in Havana, he had lost his eldest son. And according to Jack Ruby, that was the reason that a hit was called out on Kennedy. He had a blood debt for the loss of his son because Kennedy didn't call in air support for the people in the Bay of Pigs invasion. If there had been air support, they might have succeeded in retaking Cuba. Kennedy declined to provide that air support. Mafia Don's son died, and the Mafia Don, according to Ruby, ordered a hit on Kennedy. Now, the truth of the matter is that may have been the motivation for Mafia Don, but he could have been working with the CIA, or God knows how many other people may have been involved. The Mafia Don and his soldiers and whatever he contributed to Kennedy's assassination, if he contributed anything, if this is a true story. And I believe it was. It was a compelling story. I knew the guy well enough to say, yeah, I think he's telling the truth. The tapes, the audio tapes of the interviews with Jack Ruby, were allegedly concealed in a Catholic church for a couple of decades, and then they were removed and placed in the walls of a small home. And the last time I talked to my friend down there, the man of my acquaintance, would better be better description, they were trying to acquire ownership of this small home so they could extract the tapes, the audio tapes of the Ruby interviews, but this was back. The story is 20 years ago, and either they never laid hands on the tapes, or the tapes were destroyed, or they were bought and paid for. Who knows what happened? The story went no further, but if it's true, there may still be a bunker underground in Havana, chock full of gold. So if you've got a metal detector and a passport to go to Havana, hey, if you find any gold, give me 10%. We're out of time. I want to thank everyone for listening. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, with the good Lord, bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.